The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We're back on Get Up, and that is Tommy Fleetwood on the putting green at the Ocean Course at Kiawah. We'll see if he's able to win his first major championship this week. We'll be keeping an eye on him and everybody else, and you can watch all the action here Thursday and Friday on ESPN. In fact, what a lineup we have coming your way. Let me show you what the weekend is going to look like for us. We have the PGA, the first and second rounds, Thursday and Friday. Also this weekend, we have NBA playoff action all day and night on ESPN and ABC. Then we have the junior welterweight unification bout Saturday night on ESPN. And Sunday morning, begin your day with ESPN2, the Monaco Grand Prix jumpstarting your day. Now that is a lineup. We will get there this weekend. Meanwhile, we have a lot to do in the next hour here. I welcome you back to Get Up. Coming to you live from the Seaport District in New York City, we are brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny, and here we come. The menu for hour number two is jam-packed. We are getting up with play-in mayhem. Tatum goes nuts. The stage now set for Steph and the King. Who has the edge in tonight's one-game season? We'll ask Timmy Legs and Jalen Rose. Plus, a Hall of Famer had one word for Aaron. Now, we have some choice words for him. Don't miss the fireworks. They're definitely on the way. And then, a new Patriot throwing shade at the greatest Patriot of them all. Did that really happen? Yes, it did. And you will hear it here as we get up with you starting right now. In the Eastern Conference play-in game last night, the 7-seed Boston, the 8-seed Washington. Winner will get Brooklyn. 30 seconds to go in the half. Wizards have the lead, and Russell Westbrook is feeling it. Alex Len. No. Russell Westbrook. Yes, he would score 20. Wizards up two at the break. But the third quarter would belong to Boston, and it would belong to Jason Tatum. This is Kemba Walker. That's Tatum knocking it down. He had 13 points was the lead, and he was just getting started. Tatum not done. Celtics up by 10. Tatum backing down Bradley Beal. Little fadeaway. Jason Tatum, 23 points in the third quarter. Most in any quarter in any game in his career. To the fourth we go. Celtics up by 10. Tatum going right to the rim. Lays it up and good. The Celtic lead is a dozen. Looking to put it away. Boston by 15. Tatum stepping back for the three. Jason Tatum would score 50 points. And the Celtics would survive in advance. Russell Westbrook leaving with bumps and bruises. Boston wins. And Tatum was the talk of the town.
I don't really get caught up in, you know, those who think I am a superstar and those that don't. You know, what does that really mean? I know that my teammates, you know, I've earned their respect. I've earned the respect of the guys that I play against.
You know, it didn't matter who was in front of him, you know, and that's been something that I've been trying to tell his for years. You know, he's a special talent, man. You know, I've been saying this since he was in diapers, so it doesn't surprise me.
And so Tatum's performance earning Boston the chance to play the Nets in round one, but be careful what you wish for, because as you see, they were 0-3 against the Nets this year, and they were lost those games by an average of 15 points. So that does not bode well. Let us bring Tim Legler back into the conversation here. So Tatum goes for the 50. Let me pose the question to you this way. As the Nets get set now for Boston to come in, will there ever be a moment in this series where you and I will be talking and we will be thinking, wow, the Nets might really be in trouble here?
Possibly after the first two games if Boston can get a split. And I don't think that's out of the question. You know, Jason Tatum's in this kind of a rhythm. Celtics playing a game now. They're coming in. They're going to be a little bit more probably in a flow. The Nets guys haven't played together a ton. It wouldn't shock me if the Nets got off to a slow start in this series. But at the end of the day, I think Boston probably wins one game, maybe two, Greeny, but I think most likely it is a five-game series. I just don't know how you can get enough supplemental scoring out of Boston's other guys. Jason Tatum can be sensational, but he's got to be sensational every night. He's got to be the best player on the floor for them to win a game. And that's just asking a lot when you're talking about the firepower on the other side. Kemba Walker's been on a roll. He's playing great. He was great again last night. You're going to have to get that every night out of him as well, because you're missing Jaylen Brown. And when you look at the rest of that roster, you know, 56 shots out of those two guys last night, 40 for the rest of the roster. I just don't see how they're going to be able to play that efficiently against the Nets to really make this a series where you're getting into like game 5 and 6 where the series is still in doubt. I don't see that happening. As great as Tatum is, I think the Nets are going to play him better, certainly than Washington did, not put him on the line 17 times. If you put any great score on the line that often, he's going to get into a rhythm. You're going to have a very difficult time winning. I don't see the Nets doing that.
Yeah, Tatum was 17 of 17 from the free throw line last night. So that was last night's game. Now let's look ahead to tonight. The Lakers and the Warriors, and this is, look, it's a in his own unique way, it's one of the most anticipated games that we've ever seen. So let's talk about LeBron James. What should the fans be looking for from him tonight? What do you expect him to come out looking to do?
I think he's going to control the game a lot in this one from the post. And I think he understands how important the three-point shooting is from their core role players. And LeBron's going to get those guys involved. We know he can take over the game as a scorer when he wants to. And he's going to have some matchups in this. He's going to go up against Draymond Green. Wiggins is going to get him some. You got Kevon Looney back there as a protector. LeBron James is going to have matchups I think he believes he can win as a scorer when he needs to. But this team is really dangerous when the three-point shooters get involved. So I think LeBron, particularly if that ankle is not 100% and he's not going to have that lift and that speed up the floor, you know, finishing the way that he does in the open floor above the rim, I think you're going to see him more back guys down, play a little bit more of a half-court pick-you-apart game as a point guard. That's what I think LeBron James' approach will be in this one. But most important element of this game by far is how the Lakers defend Steph Curry. And is their communication tight, their switches, their jump outs, do they pick them up in transition with the right personnel? I think Steph Curry might set a record tonight for the distance he's going to cover in a game without the basketball. Lakers have to defend that to win the game.
All right, we will keep an eye on that. Timmy Legs, we look forward to this. Again, it's a spectacular matchup tonight, and we'll be talking about it like crazy tomorrow morning. Jalen will join us a little later this hour as well. Legs, thanks for getting up here. Meanwhile, let me go to the drama in the NFL, and it's all surrounded the quarterbacks this offseason. You know about Russell Wilson. Reports of discord between him and the Seahawks. He's frustrated with his protection, talking about teams he'd be willing to be traded to. Then you go back to when they were talking about Deshaun Watson requesting a trade from the Texans. This just not long after he signed a 4-year contract extension. There are other issues with him now that have quieted that talk, but it was out there. And now all the rumors about Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay, the chasm between himself and the organization. All of this led former Packer GM and Hall of Famer Ron Wolf to say this.
Today's quarterbacks want to be more than quarterbacks. You know, in my time, they're hired to play the position, quarterback. These guys, they want to pick the coach, pick the players. A lot of divas playing in that league right now. And the thing that I fail to understand is all these guys that are doing this have long-term deals.
He used the word divas, and look who's gotten up with us this morning, joining Kimberly and Jeff. We've got Paul Feinbaum along for the ride. Paul, Ron Wolf says Aaron Rodgers is a diva. What do you say?
You know, Greeny, my mom brought me up not to make fun or ridicule our elders, and I'm the only person on this panel that can that's even in the same age demo as Ron Wolf. But Ron, come on, don't blow your legacy. You're a Hall of Famer. You don't need to be making idiotic, stupid comments that you don't even believe. I mean, quarterbacks have always been in that rarefied air, whether you want to call them divas or not. They've always been people of great influence. And for you, of all people, to act like you didn't know that, that's sad. I would tell you to get off my lawn, but you already told me to do that.
Fair enough. And that's from Paul. So that's saying something. And Jeff, you had similar comments to open the show today. Go.
Yeah, I totally agree with Paul, right? I mean, the quarterbacks, their complaints have nothing to do with, their own play. It's the team that's surrounding them. They want to be better. These guys want to win. Mm-hmm. Are you going to call Russell Wilson a diva? The beating he took for 3 years because they couldn't put an offensive line in front of him. You look at Aaron Rodgers. They trade up for the first time to get an offensive player in 13 years or some crazy number without even having a conversation that they're going to go out and do this. Like, all of these things that are going into this conversation. That's not diva. That's guys wanting to win now. You don't think Aaron Rodgers understands how hard it is to win a Super Bowl? He won one early in his career. He's waiting to get back there. The NFC Championship game's not enough. He wants to get over the hump and go get that win. You don't think a guy like him who just won the MVP understands what pieces would make them better? Like, he's not asking for the only seat at the table. He just wants to have part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. Listen, quarterbacks have always had it. Peyton Manning had it. Tom Brady had it. Drew Brees had it. And they should have it. I totally understand it. You want it. These guys want to win. Ride with them. Stop fighting against the current. It makes no sense.
So, Kimberly, and I know you feel exactly the same way. We talked about this earlier in the program, but I do want to ask you, because you talk to more people around the league probably regularly than just about anybody. How commonplace do you think what Ron Wolf is saying is inside the sport right now? Like, he'll say it because he's not working for anybody right now, but do you think a lot of other people feel that way?
Yeah, you know, I heard it when Deshaun Watson, before the allegations, when Deshaun Watson wanted to leave Houston. I heard people in league circles, front office, agents, everybody sort of saying, you know, the guy's under contract. Like, what is he, you know, why does he think he should have a say in who the head coach is or who this, you know, the GM is? So I have heard these sentiments before, like all off season, but it does bother me because, you know, like you guys are saying, the QB is different. It's a different animal. It's a different position. We put a lot on them. So you got to expect them to want to have some say-so. I feel like if understanding your value, maximizing your leverage, voicing frustration over how you're viewed and what your input is being considered a diva, listen, call me Mariah Carey, because I'm all about that life. Like, I just don't understand what the issue is, really.
You know what? And there's nothing you do better than making the relationship analogies. And that seems to me, Kimberly, like what this is really about. What we're really talking about is quarterbacks are the most important people in their organizations. Aaron Rodgers is the most important person in the Green Bay Packers organization. So managing those relationships, that's really the job now. Ron Wolf may not like that idea, but Kimberly, those relationships are really what it's all about, right?
Listen, if you happy wife, happy life. Like, if this is the same situation, it's a marriage. Football, it's all about relationships. It is a marriage. So you've got the most important person. If your QB is not happy, and your QB happens to be Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady or one of the all-time greats, it is really not that difficult to make them feel good, make them feel nice. Like, baby, like, I love you. You are it for me. It's really not that hard. And Green Bay, they fumbled the ball. They really did.
Yes, it doesn't seem like they don't feel that way, or they certainly don't know how to express that. Go ahead, Jeff. I cut you off.
Yeah, listen, I mean, think about when Deshaun Watson talked about wanting to get out. And everybody's like, well, Ron Wolf says, well, he's got a deal. They traded away your best receiver. You don't think that impacts your performance as a player? You just heard Devontae Adams talk about it would change the framework and mindset that he would have to stay in Green Bay. Why? Because he knows that quarterback is going to get him the ball. He understands what this guy is. Again, I don't think any of these guys are asking to be the decision makers that Ron Wolf is framing them with. Right. They just want a voice. They want to be heard because they understand what it takes to make them the best they can be and to help benefit the other guys. And here's the truth to all of it. When we win Super Bowls, and I say we as a team, we all get paid more. So every player in that locker room is going to side with Aaron Rodgers, watch Russell Wilson, because they understand as they go, we all go, right? Rising tide raises all boats. Man, that's what we want. We all going to benefit from it. Stop fighting it.
Paul, put a ribbon on the conversation. Final thought.
I think it comes down to the little things, Greeny. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers for weeks, but just treat him with common respect. He makes millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
He's the face of your franchise. Be decent to him. And I think that's where so many GMs and presidents, and it doesn't only go for the NFL. It goes for business across the country. Just be fair and be decent. And particularly when you're the top guy, show him the same respect as everybody else.
All right. Paul Feinbaum's going to rejoin us a little later for a different kind of conversation. We'll take a short break. We have so much still to come in this hour, including the new Patriot who is throwing shade at the greatest Patriot of them all. Hard to believe it's happening, but it is, and you'll hear it coming up. Plus, how much pressure is on Jim Harbaugh to turn things around at Michigan right now? And if he doesn't, what's his next move? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are getting ready for the PGA Championship this weekend. That's John Daly. He won a PGA Championship once upon a time. He's always interestingly attired, and he is ready for the action this weekend. Again, you will see rounds one and two Thursday and Friday from Kiowa right here on ESPN. We are eagerly anticipating that. Meanwhile, everyone is eagerly anticipating week four of the NFL season this year when Tom Brady and the Bucs return to Foxborough to face his former team, the Patriots. Yesterday, one of New England's newest signings, Matthew Judon, was asked which quarterback is the toughest to sack in the NFL, and he said Tom Brady is the toughest just because he intentionally grounds the ball every time. Every time I'm about to get a sack on him, he throws the ball away. And when I first mentioned that to Jeff Saturday this morning, Jeff, you just started to laugh. Why is that?
I love it. There's nothing better than to frustrate a defensive lineman by 1, 2, 3, throw it away. If it's not there, there's no reason to be tough, right? I used to tell Peyton Manning, get in the fetal position, protect yourself. I don't need you to be known as the toughest quarterback. I need you upright so we win football games. That's the bottom line. That Tom Brady's already in Judon's head. He already understands the ball's going to be getting rid of. He's not taking any unnecessary shots. You better beat somebody clean on his blind side. Otherwise, you're not touching him. That jersey's going to stay clean. Doesn't matter if he's on turf or natural grass, baby. We're keeping it clean to win games. We ain't worried about all the toughness. Go make him chase and complain all the way back to the line of scrimmage. All it does for offensive linemen is just feed us. We love to hear the complaining because we know they ain't getting anywhere near him.
And that's all the complaining is what it is. But, Nico, at the end of the day, he's right. Right? He's saying he just intentionally grounds the ball every time. He just throws it away. I mean, the truth is that is exactly what he does, right?
Don't all quarterbacks throw the ball away when they're about to be hit? I mean, listen.
Yes.
I'll just go back and say Judon's not going to be the first. He won't be the last. I know I complained a lot about quarterbacks that would just throw the ball away. Going against Peyton Manning, Tom Brady in practice every day, Drew Brees. These quarterbacks have an internal clock. 1, 2, 3, hit your back foot, throw. I remember playing Brett Favre, the only guy that I never sacked, and that was on my list of quarterbacks that I wanted to sack. And guess what he did? I had a nice pass rush, threw the ball away, intentional grounding. But at the end of the day, I didn't get the sack. I was a little bit angry there.
All right, take us on the field, Nico. Take us a place that we can't go. When he does that, Favre throws that away. And remember, we're a family show. What do you say to him?
Son of a gun. Why'd he just throw the ball away like that? Listen, a defensive player, at the end of the game, they look at that stat line and they see one sack, two sacks. You just go, yeah, I might have had five missed tackles, but when you get that one sack, it's all worth it. And that's offensive right. linemen, you know, they're judged off of one play too, and that's if they give up that sack. They could have 80 perfect pass set, 80 perfect blocks. They look great. They let up one pass rush for a sack, and guess what? They're great as a C. So for me, in a play like that, it's frustrating. And you're a pass rusher. You're tired. You're drooling on yourself. And I know Jeff says that we only play 15 snaps, but I played about 100, 1,000 a season because Bill didn't care. But anyway, I'm just going to put it to you this way.
Yeah.
When you have an opportunity to get to the quarterback and they throw the ball down like that, intentionally grounding, it is definitely something that affects you mentally because you work so hard to get there, yes. and the offensive linemen are laughing at you because they know you didn't get the sack. So, listen, the old saying, don't poke a sleeping bear. Tom Brady is awake and ready to go for this game. So don't poke Tom Brady right now because he's ready to go out there and just throw that ball all over the field on the Patriots. So he's the last person that I'd say is an intentional grounder. You know what I'm saying?
Kimberly, you're the one. That's exactly where you were going to go with this, the Brady of it all.
Yeah, like, have we not learned our lesson? Like, have guys not understood that Brady's the one guy? Don't say anything about him. Like, because even Brady Sr. is talking about how he was salivating for this Patriots-Bucks game. He was guaranteeing they were going to be 4-0. Like, Papa Brady is pumped for this game. You don't think Brady Jr. is? I mean, at this point, Judon just needs to focus not on the intentional grounding, but how the Patriots are going to get a W against Tom Brady.
That's exactly right. And Jeff, give us the final word because I wanted to come back on your side of the ball. So now a guy like Ninkovich is walking back to the defensive side and he's grumbling and he's all mad because the quarterback just threw it away. Now you're on the O-line. What are you saying to him?
Oh, I'm telling you, how does it feel? Go chase the ball. A pursuit drill. Hustle back to where you got to be. Get on your side of the line of scrimmage. Listen, they get back over there, Greeny, and they put their hands on their knee pads. They put their head down. They start shaking their head like this. That for offensive lineman, it just feeds me. I know he doesn't want those type of rushes, right? He wants to get paid off when he makes a move like that. There's nothing more exciting for an offensive lineman to watch a wasted rush, right? Sometimes you whiff. Sometimes it's a bad call. He gets free. When he can't get to your quarterback, it's disheartening. You watch them just shrivel inside and die to themselves because all they care about is the sack, baby. That's all they want. So you feel so good as an O-lineman. You just love to walk back and go, next play, next play.
I'm the only one who's obsessed with the slow motion footage that we have of Jeff Saturday. I mean, somehow we got like that's like someday we're going to put that in Jeff Saturday's life story. That's the VO that we have, the video that we have of Jeff Saturday playing. I didn't realize he played that long ago. All right, fair enough. Hold that thought 1 minute. We're coming back to it. But I haven't even gotten to the best performance of the night yet. Tigers, Mariners, Spencer Turnbull had never pitched a complete game in his career. Well, last night he's in the ninth, he's up 5-0, and he hasn't given up a hit. That's Sam Haggerty, swinging on a fastball. So now, Turnbull is two outs away from the no-no. Next batter, with a man aboard, Jared Kelnick. Oh, if they turn two, it's a no-hitter. That's one, they don't get the second. So he's still one out away. Mitch Haniger would be that man at the plate. The count is 0-2. Here's Turnbull, looking for history. Ball game. That's the fifth no-hitter in the majors this year. Tigers win it 5-0. Mariners have actually been no-hit in Seattle twice this season. John Means did it before, and now it is Spencer Turnbull who does it last night. The number of no-hitters this season in baseball has been extraordinary. It's just the second time in history there have been five no-hitters before June. The other time that happened was 1917. Woodrow Wilson was the president at the time. As we continue, Steph Curry needs to cook tonight. How many points does he need for the Warriors to have any chance of beating LeBron and the Lakers? We'll ask that question and more to the one, the only, Jalen Rose, who joins us live next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and this should be special tonight. We're getting set for Steph versus LeBron, who have met a total of 38 times. 22 of those have come across four matchups in the NBA Finals. Curry has won 22 of the matchups overall. LeBron averages just over 30 points a game against Steph, his second most against any All-Star he's faced in his career. And the two did face each other the last time these teams met. March 15th, LeBron had a triple-double and a blowout win. Steph had 27. But Steph's been red hot of late. So here's how the Lakers are approaching him tonight.
You know, we know who the head of the snake is, Steph. You know, we got to do our best to contain him. It's going to be a team effort, not just all the pressure on the guards. We got to make sure we keep an eye on them and stay locked in on them at all times.
We anticipate they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Steph. Multiple defenders, you know, different matchups, some blitzes, some shadowing, that type of stuff. We've kind of seen everything. Steph has seen everything.
So let's get into it with the man himself, the one and only Jalen Rose gets up here, and we're ready to go. So let's look at this from a bunch of different areas. Tell me exactly what Steph has to do tonight against all that defense in order for them to have a chance to win.
I got your back, Greeny. Here's what he has to do. Make at least 10 threes. And I may seem like it can't be done, but I got something for you. Steph Curry has done that more times this season than any player in the history of the NBA has done throughout their career. So if the Golden State Warriors have a chance to do this, us calling Steph Curry the greatest shooter we've ever seen is because he gets it off of every action. Dribble handoffs, down screens, off one-on-one dribble action. He shoots it from the line. He shoots it closer towards half court. He's the greatest show in basketball. He's an MVP candidate. And by the way, is a three-time champion. He and LeBron James were born in the same Ohio hospital. Now these dudes are playing at an elite level in a play-in game. They're going to need Steph Curry to be historic if they have a chance to beat the Lakers.
So you're saying he needs to make 10 threes. The over-under is actually 5.5. Would you go over? Do you believe he will make at least 6?
Greeny, you know what? I've never bet on sports other than the NCAA tournament and fantasy. I guess that is betting. But I would take that bet. I would take that bet. Win, lose, or draw, Steph is making over 5.5 threes. You know why? In his previous game, he had a career high in field goal attempts and three-pointers attempted. He attempted 22 threes in the previous game. So even if he's not hot, I anticipate he's going to take at least 20. So take over 5.5.
Okay, I like that. So that's what we all know. He's got to go crazy tonight. How about LeBron? Give me the game plan for him. If you're LeBron James, give the fans something to watch tonight. What would you be expecting to see him try to establish tonight in order to get the Lakers a win?
Points in the paint. Do not settle. Draymond Green is a terrific defender for the Golden State Warriors, but the Lakers have way too many big bodies to throw at him, including LeBron James. Do not settle. Continue to attack the basket. In half-court situations, definitely in transition. Anthony Davis is going to establish himself in hollow actions with Mark Gasol or Andre Drummond. And so I anticipate the Lakers will try to make sure they get to the paint and get to the free throw line against these smaller Golden State Warriors.
And do you expect them to win? Who do you like tonight?
I like the Lakers by double digits, actually. The one thing about the play-in games, we're excited about them until they actually happen. You seen the games last night, right?
Yeah.
Indiana was not playing around. And so I kind of anticipate a lot of that with the Los Angeles Lakers defeating the Golden State Warriors by at least double figures.
Okay, let's hope not for the purposes of it being a fun night for us tonight. But you mentioned last night's game. So Indiana just blows out Charlotte. And then Jason Tatum kind of takes care of business all by himself. 50 points last night for the Celtics as they survive in advance. So what chance do you give them to make it a tough series in the next round, the first round, against Brooklyn?
Nets in 5. Gentlemen's sweep, as we like to call it, in the NBA. But I'm happy for Jason Tatum. Here's why. This is what you want from your young stars. It's kind of like Steph Curry gave us this year. You know that your team is not going to win the East. You know that they're not a championship contender. But however, you go out and put up 50 to shoot them into the playoffs. I appreciate that. But going against KD, James Harden, and their former teammate Kyrie Irving, this is going to be a whole different level for the Boston Celtics than they had last night. So the Nets in five is what I anticipate.
All right. I think a lot of people looking at it that way. We showed earlier that the Nets were 3-0 against Boston this year, and they won those games by an average of 15 points. Meanwhile, on Planet Earth, Jalen, which is sponsored by Whole Foods Market, you know who's excited? The basketball fans in New York. And they're not thinking about Brooklyn. They're thinking about the Knicks, who are in the playoffs for the first time in 8 years. And look at some of the numbers that that is generating. The faithful are excited. Vivid Seats tells us the lowest you can get a ticket right now to get into the Garden is a little over $200. The most expensive tickets are going upwards of $8,000. They will open against Atlanta. Game one is Sunday at the Garden. Are you buying the hype? How far can the Knicks go?
I'm buying the hype because they're playing against the Atlanta Hawks in the first round. And both of those teams advancing would be a celebration for each of those fan bases. The Knicks, led by Tom Thibodeau, have done a terrific job of turning Julius Randle into an all-NBA performer, improving his three-point shooting. RJ Barrett took a leap in his second year, improved in points, rebounds, and assists in three-point shooting. Derrick Rose has been outstanding, second most points in the league, scoring off the bench. And Alec Burke has been a revelation coming back from COVID, playing big-time minutes. So for the Knicks, by the way, to win a game, so let me just set the table. Yeah. All the Knicks have to do is win one playoff game at home, and New York is going to be hysterical. Let's just set the table. Now, if they happen to win a series, oh, man, oh, my goodness. New York is about to invade Atlanta. It's going to be interesting to see if they hold on to those home tickets. I've seen how that works. And so exciting for the Knicks fans. And like I tell people, the Knicks are the most exciting team in New York. The Nets are the most exciting team everywhere else.
The Nets will play at home on Saturday, and the Knicks will play at home on Sunday. It should be a very interesting weekend, and Jalen will be there for all of it. Thank you,
yes,
Jay.
Indeed.
Outstanding to see you. As always, enjoy the game tonight. We've got the action coming your way tonight. The Western Conference games are on ESPN, 7:30 Eastern, Grizzlies, Spurs. That's the 9 versus 10, and then the main event. You got LeBron and Steph. You got the Warriors and the Lakers. Our coverage starts tonight with Stephen A's pregame SportsCenter, 7 Eastern. Again, it's all here on ESPN. Meanwhile, let me run the bases through an interesting day and night in baseball. A day after getting hit in the face with a fastball, that was Kevin Pillar bringing out the lineup card for the Mets. He's now on the injured list. In the ninth inning, Thomas Nito, meanwhile, hit a game-winning solo home run right there, and the Mets beat the Braves by a score of 4-3. Elsewhere, the Twins, Miguel Sano, snapped out of a season-long slump with 3 home runs against the White Sox. He now has 6 on the season. His teammate Jorge Polanco then won the game with a walk-off solo shot. The Twins took it by a score of 5-4, and there was much rejoicing. The Angels began life without Mike Trout with a loss to Cleveland. Despite that, Major League-leading 14th home run from Shohei Ohtani, he is now homered in 3 straight games for the 3rd time in his career. Trout, meanwhile, is out 6-8 weeks with a strained calf, which is just a terrible break. As we continue, how much pressure is there on Jim Harbaugh to turn it around at Michigan right now? And if he can't, what does his future look like? We'll answer those questions next. Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and that is Rory McIlroy, who won the PGA Championship at Kiawah 9 years ago and is now the 11-1 favorite at Caesars William Hill to do it again this year. We will see, you will see, all the action Thursday and Friday, rounds 1 and 2 of the year's second major here on ESPN. Meanwhile, to college football we go, where Jim Harbaugh is entering his 7th season as the coach at Michigan. And despite going 2-4 last year, Harbaugh agreed to a contract extension with his alma mater that runs through the 2025 season. Let's take a look at their schedule for the upcoming year. Obviously, all eyes will be on that game November 27th when they host Ohio State. The question is, what is at stake for Harbaugh this year? The answers, as always, come from our Heather Dinich.
When Jim Harbaugh was hired at Michigan in 2014, his $8 million contract put him alongside Clemson's Dabo Sweeney and Alabama's Nick Saban as one of the highest paid coaches in the country. 7 years later, that remains the only time Harbaugh was on par with national title contenders, and his salary has since been cut in half, part of a 4-year contract extension that he signed in January. So for now, let's forget about the Wolverines ascending into the playoff conversation. The more appropriate question is if Harbaugh can beat Ohio State and win a Big Ten title. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, Michigan has a 2% chance to win its division. It's not as if Harbaugh hasn't been a consistent winner, he just hasn't won big. With the exception of a dreadful 2-4 finish in 2020, a uniquely awful record that occurred in the midst of a pandemic, Harbaugh has won at least 9 games in 4 of his first 5 seasons, including 3 10-win seasons. Michigan fans, though, want more. If the coach hasn't changed, then maybe the expectations should.
Boy, that is so well said, as Heather and Paul rejoin us here. I did an essay, Heather, on this at one point during last season, where, or maybe it's 2 seasons ago now, sort of all kind of melds together, but where that really is the issue here. People want Michigan to be something that, candidly, it just isn't and hasn't been for a very long time. That predates the arrival of Jim Harbaugh.
It does. And, you know, Michigan's athletic director, Ward Manuel, has said that he's willing to be patient, but that they want to win. Harbaugh wants to win. He's a Michigan man through and through. But Ward Manuel hasn't set a minimum amount of games that he has to win this season. And quite frankly, that contract he just signed works in the favor of the school. If they fire him this year, it's $4 million. Every year after that, it goes down $1 million. It gets cheaper to fire him. So he's certainly under some pressure.
So, Paul, how would you describe the pressure on Jim Harbaugh as he heads into this season?
Greeny, I think it's enormous. What Heather said there is interesting because Jim Harbaugh is not going to survive. You don't start cutting someone's salary after doing a lousy job the last couple of years and expect him to suddenly do something that he hasn't done. And, you know, we had these conversations in the past, Greeny, I would get blowback from Michigan fans. Not anymore. Michigan fans have had enough of Jim Harbaugh. And the school maybe, perhaps, made a wise decision not making a change in a pandemic year, although a lot of other schools did. But I think Jim Harbaugh is on extremely short time. In fact, I think he'll be gone when this next season comes to an end. I think he has virtually no chance of surviving.
Well, that's interesting, and it is not surprising to me coming from you, Paul, but that's neither here nor there. Let me ask you this. What constitutes success? Paul, what would he have to do that you would say, oh, he got it turned around? Does he have to get into the playoff, or can he do that without taking Michigan where it hasn't been in so long?
He has to go to the playoffs, Greeny. I mean, we're not talking about some middling program in the middle of nowhere. We're talking about the University of Michigan here. This is one of the great programs in the history of college football. And for the university to acknowledge that it's okay to be lousy or mediocre is embarrassing and shameful. So does he have to beat Ohio State? The only way he keeps his job without beating Ohio State is to find a way to the playoffs. And that's not going to happen. So ultimately, he has to beat Ohio State. And you know what, Greeny? He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it next year, the year after. I don't think he's ever going to do it.
That obviously is a big piece of all of this, the Ohio State of it all. And as I said in that essay that I did, to call that a rivalry is really not appropriate. It's a relationship. A hammer and a nail have a relationship. They do not have a rivalry. And that's what this has been. And again, it has been that since long before Jim Harbaugh came. So, Heather, I guess I would ask you that somewhat complicated question. Like, what is success? The people who just gave him that contract extension, what do you think they would consider to be a successful outcome for the next season or two?
Well, I would disagree with Paul, respectfully, of course, that he's going to get fired after this season, because I think he's got some wiggle room. I think success, Greeny, this year is a winning record and a win in a bowl game. He hasn't won a bowl game, I think, in four straight tries. So let's get back to good, right? We're not talking about a top 25 team here. They might be top 30. We talk more in the national media right now about Coastal Carolina and Louisiana and Iowa State. Let's get back into the conversation of relevance. To me, that's a successful season because they're not going to the playoff. But I will remind people about Ohio State. Let's go back to, I think, 2016 it was, the spot when we saw Ohio State convert that 4th-and-1. If Ohio State doesn't convert that play and Michigan goes to the Big Ten championship that year, guys, are we even sitting here having this conversation right now?
It's a great point, and Heather, I would pick it up and go further. If you had told me then, Paul Feinbaum, when he came that close to winning it that year, that he would get no closer, in fact, he would be this far away, I would have told you were out of your mind, right? Like, this has been a huge surprise to me. Has it been a surprise to you, Paul?
Yes, I thought it was a great hire. When he came there, I thought it was one of the great seminal hires in modern college football history. It turned out to be a bust. And listen, we can keep propping him up, but it's not going to change. Greeny, if Jim Harbaugh was the CEO of Amazon or Apple or a major Fortune 500 company, he would have been shown the door a long time ago. I just don't understand why Michigan has sold its soul to prop up this guy who's just a mediocre coach.
There you have it. That's Paul Feinbaum and Heather, who join us every week here with different looks at some of the big stories as we work our way towards next season's college football. Outstanding today, guys. Thank you, Heather, very much for the piece. Meanwhile, let me talk about someone who was in college very recently and got a lot of attention and now begins his second year in the NFL, and that's Tua Tagovailoa, sort of up and down as a rookie in Miami. Yesterday, his head coach, Brian Flores, talked about Tua entering his second year and said this: he's more comfortable with just his surroundings, more comfortable being in a huddle, giving a cadence, going through his communication, those little things that no one really talks about. He said this: he feels much more comfortable about doing those things. I think having a year under his belt will really help him. Let me bring the squad back in on this conversation. And Kimberly, I will start this one with you, because there were these whispers. I don't know exactly how real they were, that maybe they were in it when the Deshaun Watson conversation was taking place. And then we wondered about some of the other quarterbacks. What is your sense of how steady the ground is that Tua is standing on in Miami?
Greeny, I think it's very steady. Until it isn't. You know, it's on him now. This team, between Chris Greer, the GM, and head coach Brian Flores, they've set him up. This roster is set up for success now. They had an A-plus draft. You got Jalen Waddle. You got Notre Dame offensive tackle Eichenberg. They've made moves where Tua just needs to take the next step in his progression. But I will say, as confident as they are in Tua, and as much as Brian Flores is gushing about how Tua is developing, he needs to, because Brian Flores sort of opened the door last year when he benched Tua a couple times late in games in favor of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who we've seen had this up and down trajectory. That's where sort of the question started, like, how committed are they to Tua? Like, what's going on? Then you have an offseason where they can get quarterbacks. So that buzz, that was self-created, but right now they are confident in Tua.
That's a very interesting perspective on that, Paul. Again, as one who covered every snap he took in college now after 1 year, what is your sense of where he is at this moment?
I think he's about to make a huge step, Greeny. Yeah, he looked tentative last year. He was coming off an injury. He had an injury. He looked shaky at times. But I think, based on what I see, based on what I've heard from friends of his and coaches, he's about to break out. Now, that's easy to say in mid to late May, but I sense it with him, and he's a smart quarterback. He's a junkie in the film room, and I really think with Waddle on that team, that's somebody he feels comfortable with. He is set up for a huge second season. Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Jeff? We talk a lot about the second season for Joe Burrow, who's going to be healthy. We predicted Justin Herbert might be the MVP of the league. What do you think about Tua entering year two? Jeff?
I like it. I like where he is. I like where he's sitting. When you look at those plays, a ton of Tua's issues were him pulling the ball down, holding, waiting for that thing to open up, waiting to see the window. I think with comfort, with practice, with reps, I think those things come to quarterbacks, especially in their second year. When you think about Tua, I mean, really the scope of work, right? Was it six games or something last year? Even at Alabama coming off that injury, even his collegiate career, you don't see a ton of games. He has to work himself in. I think you see the talent is there. But give him time. I reflect back to Peyton Manning, right, in 1998. He led the NFL. I think he still leads the NFL in interceptions from a rookie quarterback. I know he played 16 games and all that kind of thing. But when you look at it, the Colts allowed him to develop and then surrounded him with talent. I see the Dolphins doing exactly the same. Flores understands you got the tackle. You got another receiver. You're adding pieces and parts. Mm-hmm. This team was not ready to take a next step yet. It's ready now, and I think he's in a perfect position to take this team and lead. I agree with Paul. He's a smart quarterback. He'll pick it up, and he'll make this thing work in a big fashion.
Well, I think you go back to what Kimberly said there. Yes, it is all set up for him, but there are also very high expectations for the team, much more so than in Cincinnati and even with the Chargers. So if things don't go in that direction, it might be the quarterback at whom they look. Guys, outstanding. Thank you for getting up here. And a reminder that First Take is coming up. They're just a few minutes away. Will LeBron and the Lakers repeat his chance? That's the question. They've got the answers. Stephen A., Max, and Molly. They're 5 minutes and change away right here on ESPN.